Good morning and welcome to God Talk. Today I'm going to continue to talk about the Psalms, the prayer book of Israel and the prayer book of Christianity, the heart and soul of monastic life for more than 1,500 years, where men and women who are cloistered, who've given their lives to prayer, go through the Psalms, they memorize all 150, and in a two-week period, they recite all 150 with what's called a Liturgy of the Hours, seven worship services, beginning at 3:30 in the morning. Wow. I want to say a word about David. He's one of my heroes, I guess. You know, King David reigned almost 3,000 years ago. Can you imagine? 3,000 years ago? And yet, we are reading his Psalms. He is the heart and soul of the Psalter. It's called the Psalter. And in the Bible, purportedly, he wrote or had ownership in 73 of the 150 Psalms. So you'll see, as you're reading the Psalms, depending on the version, it'll say, you know, of David. Whether he wrote them or not, we can never prove. But it's interesting, the ancient Jewish rabbis said that regardless of whether David himself actually wrote every psalm of the 150 Psalms, his was still, quote, the sweetest voice in Israel. So that every psalm should be heard through David's heartfelt voice. David really is the first Messiah, and he's the only person in the Bible about whom it is said that he was a man after God's own heart. What do you think that means? God loved him. Yes, he was a man after God's own heart. That would seem to indicate that David's love for God, that David was 100% for God, truly loved the Lord, his God, with all of his heart, soul, and strength. Although he was a sinner, my gosh, he was not a perfect person. But what I want to do is read and talk about some of David's Psalms, or those Psalms, excuse me, which are attributed to David. I certainly don't have time to go through all 173. Last week, we talked about Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," which is, by the way, one of David's Psalms. So we turn first to Psalm 27. Now, you can simply listen to it if you have your Bible with you. You may open it up. I'm going to be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. The other options are many out there. The New International Version is very good. The American Standard Bible, the New King James Version. There are a host of wonderful translations. And, of course, this is translating from Hebrew, which means different words can be interpreted in different ways. So I will read the first 14 verses of Psalm 27. It's one of the really great psalms. And I tell you, this beginning has been really important to me in my life. I sure have had my moments of fear. Maybe some of the rest of you have as well. And if you just take these words in, you can meditate on them. We can talk, if there's time, a little bit about praying the Psalms. But just listen to the words, and what strikes you, ruminate, meditate, chew on it. And then maybe offer a prayer to God and see if God will answer. Here's the first two verses. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Wow. "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Okay. God is our light. God is light, and in God there is no darkness. What does light do? Well, obviously the sun gives us life, but also it gives us clarity. We can see, we have clarity as to where we are, who we are, what the truth is. You shall know the truth, and it shall set you free. Not to be in the darkness. The world is in darkness. We sure are in darkness these days. But if you take to heart that the Lord is your light and your salvation, meaning the end is already assured in Christ, we're not there yet, but we have this faith that when the time comes, we will be connected to God eternally, and we will be in that place where God is. In my Father's house are many rooms, Jesus said. Go there to prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you with me so that where I am, there you may be also. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I mean, compared to God, who is there to be afraid of? There's nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. Yes, we can lose our life, but not our soul, not if we're connected to God. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Jesus talks about building our lives on solid rock in Matthew 7, making God the stronghold, the rock upon which we build our lives, so that nothing will shake it. Yes, there will be hurricanes around us. Yes, there'll be tsunamis, but we will not be moved because of our faith, which takes away our fear. And there's a lot of fear today, isn't there? The possibility of, God forbid, a nuclear holocaust between the United States and North Korea. All the things that are going on, I don't need to spend the hour. It's easy to get depressed. But the Lord is our light and our salvation. Do not fear. The Lord is our stronghold. Therefore, of whom shall we be afraid? Then David goes on, when evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, kind of dramatic, yeah. My adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. And of course, David really had his foes. He was in one kind or another of a battle always. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. Why? Because the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. One thing I've asked of the Lord, that I will seek after. To live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. In other words, I will fear not. Right. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Psalm 23. Thou anointest my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's our true home. Our hearts truly are restless until they find their rest in God. And once you have found your rest in God, you need never leave. He continues, Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Seek ye my face, in the King James Version. To sense the presence of God, to seek God's face. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me. And many of us have had moments when we've wondered in our life, God, have you forsaken me? Then you need to pray this psalm. These psalms give us permission. See, David has taught us how to pray. It's okay to ask God for these things. It's okay to let God have it, as it were. As long as you stay on the line, you don't hang up. As long as you begin with what God has done that's been good in your life, a statement of faith, express the problem, and end up with faith again. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Wow. The whole world could forsake you, but God will never forsake you. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Wow. And the last verse, I love these words. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wow. I've even put that to music before. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. A number of the psalms, some we'll get to later in the hour or half hour, speak about the importance of waiting for the Lord. You know, it's God's time, not ours. I don't think any of us asked to be at all or to be alive today when there's so many great things happening and things that are not great happening, but nevertheless, what a time to be alive. You know, God has given us the gift of time and space, given us the gifts here to live fully. Yet we need to wait on the Lord. God tests our patience. We need, you know, the story, right? The one thing you should never ask for is patience, because God will help you to have patience by testing it. Like Abraham and Sarah, their patience was tested. They had to wait 25 years before they finally got Isaac, the promise of progeny. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know, if you have a positive attitude, you will see. You will see, you will sense God's action in your daily life. I could tell you so many stories, wow, of the grace of God that's present. You know, yes, there are bad things that happen. And when you watch evening news, Lord knows it's kind of hard to take in the poor plight of the Puerto Ricans, what's going on in the Caribbean, in Houston and Florida. And yet there are so many wonderful things going on. But that's not as newsworthy, is it? Okay. Psalm 37. I won't have time for all these today, by the way, so I may continue next week if you enjoy listening to the Psalms. They are of enormous comfort. This is the heart, the pulse, the prayerful heart and pulse of the Bible. Before I start, I just want to ask, do we have any fretters out there? Lord knows I've done my fretting, my obsessive fretting, worrying, being concerned about this issue or that issue. My favorite true story is the time a woman in her 80s who was having grave difficulty, and I was her pastor. So I was trying to comfort her, right? Tell her not to worry. The Lord is my light and my salvation. These kinds of things. And she looked at me as if I was an impertinent young man. I was a lot younger then. And she said, and I quote, "Don't you tell me not to worry. Nothing I worry about happens." Now that's an interesting thought, eh? As long as I'm worrying about it, it's not going to happen. If I'm not worrying, it might happen. So what is it I'm not worrying about I should be worrying about? That would be a horrible way to live. Here it is. The first excuse me, 11 verses of Psalm 37. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Boy, that's sure true. In my 74 years, have I seen that happen? They may have their time on the stage, but they too will fade. Nobody gets out of here alive. Your job, next verse here, trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Wow. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. Maybe not in your time, folks, but he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Those three. Think about that. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord with your whole being. Second, take delight in the Lord. Take delight. God, you are my delight. If someone tells you, I'm just delighted with you, how does that make you feel? Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I'll come back to that. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. Trust, take delight, commit your way. But don't fret. All right, back to the next verse. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Psalm 46, be still and know that I'm God. If you can't be still, how are you going to know God? God is there in the silence, seeming to be in the shadows, because God is giving you the time and space to live your life the way you choose to live. So if you seek God, it'll be because you desire God, and you must do so not out of fear, but out of love, out of desire. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices, which has been a bugaboo. God, how come, you know, good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people? That's been a refrain forever. But here, you're being told, don't worry about it, don't fret. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil. Amen. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look diligently for their place, they will not be there. And here's one of the great verses from the Psalms that Jesus quotes. But the meek shall inherit the land, and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. So that last verse, verse 11 of Psalm 37, is what Jesus quotes in his Sermon on the Mount when he says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I need to emphasize here that meek does not mean weak, quite the opposite. It means to be trusting and obedient, to let go and let God. Moses was called meek, but he was not weak. Jesus even calls himself meek. But who of us could match his strength of heart, soul, and spirit? So what would your life be like if you actually took into your heart and acted out even one of these verses? What about not fretting or worrying anxiously? It only leads to evil. What kinds of evils has worrying led to in your life? You know, fear, depression, closing down, shutting down, being defensive, being protective, not wanting to reach out, not wanting to risk living, not being open to enjoy the good, not being open to receive love. Terrible, terrible things come from fretting. Wow, it only leads to evil. God will take care of the balance sheet between good and evil. You need to know which side you're on. and you're on the side of God. So trust in God and rest in God's hands. And if you take delight in God, God will graciously give you what your heart most desires. Wow. Which ultimately is God and love. Stay with God in determined commitment, and you cannot fail to live the life that God has designed for you, one of enduring meaning. I will never forget a dream as I was waking up when I was in my late 20s. And I don't remember what the dream was, but I'll never forget this vision. I was looking at a wall, and I literally saw, like Daniel, the hands of God. I didn't actually see his hand, but I saw this holy writing going on the wall. Do not fear another day in your life. And I woke up. Wow. Do not fear another day in your life. What would your life be like if you could manage to do that? That's what God is offering us here. That doesn't end Psalm 37, by the way. Let me read some other verses. I read the first 11. These are verses 23 through 31. Our steps are made firm by the Lord. When he delights in our way, though we stumble, we shall not fall headlong. For the Lord holds us by the hand. I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. Wow. They are ever giving liberally and lending, and their children become a blessing. Depart from evil and do good, so you shall abide forever. For the Lord loves justice, he will not forsake his faithful ones. The righteous shall be kept safe forever, but the children of the wicked shall be cut off. Wow. The righteous shall inherit the land and live in it forever. Looking forward to that day. The mouths of the righteous utter wisdom, and their tongues speak justice. The law of God is in their hearts. Their steps do not slip. Pretty powerful stuff. Now, next, we got about 8 minutes here. All right, I'm going to read the first 5 verses of Psalm 40. I want to preface it by saying that I've had my times when these words meant a great deal to me. They spoke of my plight and God's action in my life. I'm going to read this twice. So here's the first time. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Happy are those who make the Lord their trust, who do not turn to the proud, to those who go astray after false gods. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. Were I to proclaim and tell of them, they would be more than can be counted. Note the importance of patience again. And again, God operates on God's own timetable. Our job is to be patient on the Lord. That's our task, be patient while maintaining faith in God's goodness and eventual fulfillment of God's promises. And again, we have Abraham and Sarah as our model. God hears, and God will lift you out of your funk, depression, desperation. See, there are 3 components to depression, my friends, and all 3 need to be looked at. There's a physiology, so sometimes we need medication to help you know, get serotonin and ways to overcome. There's some good antidepressants out there. So there's a biology, a physiology of it. Secondly, there's a psychology of it. You know, sometimes unresolved grief can just turn into depression or suppressed anger. Literally, we depress, push down on our anger, and so we can become depressed. But there's also a spirituality to depression, which means what? We're not really connected to God or to other people. So it's been said, and there's a lot of truth to it. Hey, are you depressed? Go do a good thing for somebody. That's a great, even if it's a temporary, antidepressant. It feels good. You're connected to another person. You're doing something. You're helping. That matters. Sometimes what we call depression is burnout. It can be a lot of other things. Disillusionment. You thought so-and-so was a person you could trust and found out he or she wasn't. You never thought you'd lose your job. There are 1,001 reasons to be depressed. But I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the desolate pit. Are you familiar with the desolate pit? Oh, I know it pretty well. We got to be careful we don't jump in there feeling sorry for ourselves, because that feels strangely good, but only digs us deeper. Out of the miry bog and set my feet upon a rock. Here we are back with a rock, making my steps secure. You lead me in the paths of righteousness for your namesake. God will direct us. As you put your trust in God, as you do not fret, as you do not look to the right or to the left, but only on God, God will make your path straight. God will guide you. God hears. God will lift you out of your funk, your depression, and set your feet on solid rock. Now, God at the same time will put a new or renewed song in your heart. I loved the musicals. I was raised with musicals. And there's a song, with a song in my heart, I behold your adorable face. Just a song at the start, but it soon is a hymn to your grace. I love that. With a song in my heart, I behold your adorable face. God put a song back in my heart. It's done so a number of times. We each have our song, or the Peggy Lee song when we're down at breast. Look what they done to my song, Mom. Look what they done to my song. Well, God will renew, restore that song. There's a guy in our block. Wonderful guy. Man, can he whistle. And sometimes I'll hear him whistling and it just touches my heart because he's happy. He's just a delightful whistler. Wow. Have you got a song in your heart? With a song in my heart, I behold your adorable face. With a song at the start, soon it is a hymn to your grace. You can ask God to give you back the spark, the song. Look how much we need music. God knows that. So God renews the song in our heart. Wow. Well, my friends, I will continue next week, because there are a few more Psalms that I would like to just talk to you about. So be sure to bring your Bibles with you if you like, or just simply sit back and listen. And I'm going to have this show later today on my website, which is drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com, drhalgreen.com. If you would like to hear this show again and again, what great words to take to heart. Wait patiently for the Lord. God hears. God will draw you out of whatever pit you may be in. God will set your feet on a rock, making your steps secure, and God will put a new song in your mouth. Isn't that great? What great, wonderful words for us to read, meditate, and pray. God bless us all. See you next week, or see you on the radio. Bye now.